Shalom, shalom, everybody, and welcome to the Restoration Hour this evening. And you know what? I hope that you've had a wonderful day. I hope that it's been a great week for you. It's the start of a new week, actually, if we think about it like that. And so I hope that you've just had a wonderful one, and welcome to everyone that's going to be joining us. Please let us know if there are, as we always say, any technical difficulties on that side. You can't hear us, or, you know, you can't hear the sound, or, you know, just even let us know if everything is sounding good your side. So welcome to the Restoration Hour. We're looking forward to spending this time with you. Yusuf, welcome to you as well this evening.
Thank you so much, Leah, and it's good to be here. I'm so excited again as we come together for this Restoration Hour. I know that every week we say that, but I know that every week I look forward to it. And last week was a real blessing. I think that for many of us, it was a word in season that we needed to hear. And I believe this evening, again, as we just fellowship around the word, that Yahweh is going to be with us. I know, Leah, that it's been a busy week for you. It's been a busy week, I think, for both of us again. And I praise Yahweh that he's healed us and that we are able to continue to do the work that he's called us to do. And I just like to open this evening first, and then, you know, we can get into what we're going to chat, and also just chat about, you know, the things that are happening with the ministry and how this week has been. So, Father, we really want to thank you this evening in the name of Yeshua. Father, we thank you that we can come together again in this time, Father, of the Restoration Hour. We thank you, Father, that you are with us. We thank you, Abba, Father, that your people, Father, all over the globe, Father, are listening, Father. And we pray, Abba, Father, that those who will join us live and those that will join later, Father, that they will really be blessed, Father, by your Spirit and by your word. I pray, Abba, Father, that this evening as we talk about what's on your heart, Father, and on our heart through your Spirit, Father, that you will really minister to the lives of people. And Father, that we will leave this place changed, renewed, restored in the wonderful and precious name of Messiah Yeshua, we pray. Amen.
Amen. You know, it's so interesting because it's we say like, yes, Yahweh has healed us. But I can actually hear when we do the Restoration Hour that our voices are definitely not where they need to be. And so I really pray that they will just get better, man. They'll just get better and better. Mm. It has been a good week, and it's been a wonderful, you know, week. And it's so weird because the week goes so quickly, and we're just, yeah, the months are just moving so quickly. Mm. And you know what? This week was so blessed. I got to lead a woman's workshop, which was quite interesting, on Friday morning with a really big logistical company who said, you know what? We didn't do anything for Women's Month, and August is Women's Month in South Africa. We didn't do anything for Women's Month, so please will you lead a workshop for us and just do something for the woman, you know? It's kind of like, just do anything. Yeah. It's like, wow, just do anything. That's a really big thing. You know, it wasn't a spiritual thing. So I really, really prayed about it. And the Father was so good, because the one thing that we need to realize is that when we are believers, when we believe in Messiah Yeshua, no matter what we do, it is a sacred thing. It is a holy thing. So we take him with us into those things, into the workshop. I really felt his presence there, felt his love for everyone that joined, just really felt his heart. And again, you know, him just reminding me there are so many broken people in the world, and there's so much brokenness around us, and that wherever we go, we can and should be a representation of Yeshua to people, and also just speak a word of life and affirmation and encouragement to people. And we should always be able to do that. You know, we know that often places want us to come and they're like, okay, just something normal, not something religious. And it's so amazing because, you know, Yeshua just really comes, and he does show up, and he does do beautiful things. And that is the beauty of just walking with him, being with him. And I just really praise him for that as well. Really praise him for just touching people's lives. And I think that that's really important. And Yusuf, I know your week as well was, you know, a bit up and down, still with recovery. But you put out a teaching for Yom Kippur, which I'm really excited about. Amen. Because the feasts are soon arriving.
Amen. I'm so looking forward, I think, this year to the fall festivals. I really do believe that, you know, the earth, like I said, and everything that is happening, you know, we always get so caught off guard, and we tend to put our focus on, you know, the news and the media. And it's now the time that we need to readjust our focus and put our focus back on Yeshua, especially as we prepare for these fall feasts. And not only, you know, just to do the fall feasts as we always come and do year in, year out, but I really do believe that on a yearly basis, that when we fellowship and we do and we fulfill these festivals that He's called us to, that it draws us just that little bit closer to His return and the understanding of His return and the understanding of what He requires of us as the people that need to be His bride. So the festivals are always important every single year, even though we discuss the same things maybe over and over on a yearly basis. It is extremely, extremely important. So we need to remember that.
Absolutely. And you know what? Like I said at the beginning of the broadcast, if you have any technical difficulties or can't hear anything, then please let us know. But otherwise, welcome to everybody that's joining us. Tonight, I really want to share something so specific with you. We're going to get in deep into this. I guess this is something I've actually wanted to do a teaching on for a while, but Yeshua really spoke to me today and was like, you know what? We are people who, obviously, we live in this world. And we're around in this world. And the last year and a half has been tough. You know, it's been tough for the world. It's been tough for everybody. Whether it be, and yes, we have mentioned that before, but we can't deny that that is true. It's not just about maybe losing loved ones and, you know, being in a global pandemic, which has kind of in a way joined us all together. If you think about it, we all, you know, as the saying says, you know, we're not all in the same boat. All of our boats look different, but we are facing the same storm. And so it is just this craziness. So I was thinking about the fall feasts and say to someone in the week that, I will miss the fellowship of the fall feasts because we won't have that this year. You know, here in South Africa, the situation is quite bad with the COVID, you know, registering, you know, around about 14,000 cases every single day, new cases. So can you imagine how many people that is in 1 month? So you've really got to be cautious. And so as just a reality of our lives, I guess, as people, we've begun to be in a place where, you know, the world has got a little bit smaller. You are confined maybe to your home. You're confined to just your family. You're not, you know, having this freedom. And yes, in some countries there is, but most of us, there's not. There's not that freedom we had before 18 months ago. So our world begins to actually almost get smaller and it begins to become more confined in a way. And that's a psychological reality. It's just what happens mentally. And so we can begin to even get that way when we think about our purpose, when we think about life. And actually, it's not even a conscious thing that happens to us. It's almost this, you know, subconscious thing that begins to happen. What is the purpose of me doing this? You know, I'm not even fellowshipping with other people. I'm not seeing the power of Yahweh on display. And I think that that's almost a trial that one goes through. I know for us, it's a case of, you know, always having been around people and you know, seeing the power of Yahweh on display, witnessing that power of Yahweh, but also demonstrating that move of Yeshua. And then you are not having that because you're confined. So you're not actually physically seeing it. So then you begin to ask yourself, what is the point and the purpose? And that's why I want to talk about the book of Nehemiah today, because Yeshua really laid this on my heart. And he showed me the picture of, we know the story, the walls that, you know, Nehemiah really just spoke to the people that they needed to build. They needed to get together and build these walls. And what's so interesting, because if you think about it, Nehemiah was in Persia. And, you know, he heard that the walls weren't built and he prayed that there would come an answer. You know, he prayed to Yahweh, oh, please send an answer for this. Like, please do something about the situation. Not thinking in that moment when he was praying that he was actually the answer. And if we just stop and pause there, we think to ourselves, there's things on my heart. And I want to say this to those of you who are listening, you know, today. Sometimes there's things on our hearts that are real burdens on our hearts. And we pray that Yeshua will send answers for those things. Yeshua send someone to help there, or Yeshua send someone to go and speak the truth of your word to those people. we never know if maybe the answer we're praying for is us, you know, it's you or me. And that's so beautiful. Yes, we've got to be in step with him and know and discern if that is true. But Nehemiah was this answer. But I want to take you, you know, Nehemiah, we know he goes and everything happens, so much happens. But in Nehemiah 3, we have this kind of list of names that some people would probably just overlook and be like, well, these are just names. So what do you want me to do with this information? But Yahweh is so smart. He's laying out these lists of names. These are real people, just like you and me. Okay, they lived in a very different time. So their minds were different. Their situations were different. But they were living in quite an intense time as well. Small remnant returned from the Babylonian exile. Now, you know, just a few thousand of them living in a city that was once Jerusalem of gold, right? The glorious city. Right. Now just rebuilt, you know, rebuilt from charred stone, still black, you know, rebuilt from this terrible reality when they probably looked down a road. One of them probably thought, you know, my great grandfather was here and he got killed in that siege. Mm. You know, or my parents were here and they got taken off to Babylon. And you know what? The memories, there's a memory that jogs every time you look at things. So we're dealing with people who are living in a city that was once destroyed. This is like people returning to Syria today. It's like the refugees that are living around the world returning to Syria and having to inhabit what has been destroyed. Think about it. If you've seen the images of how Syria has just laid waste, that was actually, we know it was prophetic. But just imagine returning to that. I don't think we can. That's what they returned to. They've rebuilt. Nehemiah had this thing placed on his heart by Yahweh saying that he needed to rebuild the walls. And so in Nehemiah chapter 3, people start getting to work. And this is where I want to bring you for a few moments. Because it says in verse 1, Eliashib, the high priest, and his fellow priests went to work and they rebuilt the sheep gate. How boring is this? This is just like a whole bunch of people and they're just rebuilding this whole thing. This is not boring at all. Look here, Yosef, what's happening? I don't know if you noticed this. This is the beginning of a list that's going to last like about 30 something verses down. Who's the first person that's rebuilding this wall? I just read it to you. Eliashib, the high priest. Do you see? We don't even take notice of what I just read. The high priest is the first person that begins the work on the wall. He's the very first person and he's rebuilding with fellow priests. So we are told right here that it's the priests that set off to work first, not just the ordinary people that are living in the city. It's the priests. And you know what's so beautiful is that his name, Eliashib, actually means God will restore. It is so beautiful because here he's the high priest of the small remnant, but his parents named him God will restore. Why? Because probably maybe they were, you know, living outside of Jerusalem. They weren't even maybe even living here. But the truth is that they had this longing in their hearts and that full belief in Yahweh's promise that he can restore anything. And they named their son God will restore. Mm-hmm. And this is the first person that we are told gets to work on the walls. Mm-hmm. Why? Because these walls are also symbolic to us today of us building the kingdom of Yeshua on this earth. And who started that work? Yosef, we have the Our Father prayer, mm-hmm. the Avinu prayer. Who prayed that prayer first? Who taught us how to pray that prayer? Yeshua, because he was, you know, starting this work. He says that Our Father, who art in heaven, you know, hallowed be thy name. And then he says, your will be done, what? On earth as it is in heaven. He speaks about the kingdom. He came to demonstrate the kingdom to us. This is almost a foreshadow of what Yeshua was doing, you know, laying down those first bricks of what we need to build on. And there's something even more beautiful. It says that they went and they rebuilt the sheep gate. Now, this is quite cool because the sheep gate was actually used to bring sheep into the city. And so this is the place where the sheep would be brought in for sacrifices in the temple. Oh. So the priests are given the duty of restoring something that was in their own personal interest. So Nehemiah, how beautiful is this? I started off with saying, what is the burden in your heart? What is the burden that you have that you are praying Yahweh will bring an answer for? You know what? They are building a part of the wall, not just because it's the wall and they need it, but it's because it's in their interest. They are interested in the sacrifice in the temple. Why? Because they as the priests will offer those sacrifices. Why? Because it will bring people closer to God, because it was what Yahweh wanted. And so not only are they just, you know, laying a few bricks and, you know, restoring the wall, they are building what is in their own interest. They are interested in the sacrifices. So Nehemiah gives them the position of building something that will enable the sacrifices to happen. And here we have the high priest putting his hand to the work. It's not haphazard. It's not like, oh, I'm just on the wall. If you go through each and every single one of these people, and that's the kind of teaching I want to do in the future, and see what they are building and how they're building it and where they're building, it's in their interest. And it's not a selfish interest. It's in their burden. It's in their heart. You have people here in Nehemiah chapter 3 that are perfume makers that are now building the wall. You have people who are bakers that are building the oven area. It's in their interest to provide bread for the people. You have people here that are building specific parts of this wall because it's in their heart to do that thing. And sometimes, you know, that's what it has to take for us. It's not going to be easy. It's not going to be easy to fulfill our purpose. It's not going to be easy to become the person Yahweh created us to be. But it is the best option for our lives. It is the brick that we will lay to build the kingdom. And I want to say that again. When you rise up to become the person that Yahweh created you to be, when you say yes to your giftings, when you say yes to your calling, when you say yes to get out of a bad maybe work situation that's just dominating everything you do and you can't focus on your calling, then you begin to lay the bricks. When you say no to the things taking your time, that's taking you away from, you know, your destiny and your calling and using your giftings, you begin to build the bricks. And I truly believe that this evening, you know, Yeshua wants us to not be people that are just sitting behind that desk. Do you know what I mean? Not just sitting behind the work desk. It is good to provide for our families, and we need to. That is a element of holiness and righteousness to provide. But when anything that we have in life takes us away from fully being the person that is laying the bricks of the kingdom, then we have a problem because we are being stopped from fully fulfilling what we are called to do. I want to tell you about someone else. We have, you know, these rulers of half districts. That's what it says in Nehemiah 3. Rulers of half districts, because obviously there were people in charge of different areas. You have governors, and they begin to do the work. But then you have these interesting people, and it's found in verse 5. It says, the next section was repaired by the men of Tekoa, but their nobles would not put their shoulders to the work. They would not do the work. So you have these men of the city, the men of this Tekoa city, they are joyfully doing the work of the wall because it's in their favor. But now you have their, you know, sort of upper class people that are from their city that actually find this work beneath them. This is dirty work. You know what I mean? Kind of like feeding the widow or the orphan or ministering to the homeless or giving people hope who have been abused or washing someone else's feet or ministering for no pay. That's or right. Whatever that list looks like.
That's right.
And some people will not do the works that Yeshua says that we need to do. When he says, oh, you came and visited me in prison. When you saw me hungry, you fed me. When I needed clothes to wear, you gave it to me. And then they say, well, when did we do these things? When you did it for other people. It cannot be this way. But these men of Tekoa are actually quite beautiful. They're actually quite special because it says that in verse 27, it actually goes on to say that next to them, the men of Tekoa repaired yet another section of the wall from the great projecting tower to the wall of Ophel. So who knows, maybe they felt a little bit bad. You know, above here, they're repairing this one section. Their nobles don't want to do their work. And they're looking at this and maybe they're feeling a bit bad and thinking, this is terrible. that our noble people of our city don't want to do anything. So you know what? We're going to take on more work.
Mm.
We're going to do the work. Forget about them. We're going to repair a really big part of the wall. And if you look at actually the picture of the wall that they repaired, it's a really big part. So they're just taking on more and more work. And that's an encouragement to us to say, it doesn't matter if the guy next to you doesn't want to be the person Yeshua called them to be. Doesn't matter.
Amen.
If your friend doesn't want to commit to walking with Yeshua, doesn't matter if your family are not yet saved. Yes, we pray that they will be saved, that they will get saved, that they will believe in Yeshua, that they will rise into their destiny. You continue to do the work and take on more work if that's what Yeshua wants for you. Mm. Whatever he gives to you, take it, do it, run with it, go with it. That is your work. Don't look behind you. You keep going.
Amen. You know, Leah, I think so often we as believers, we tend to forget those, you know, the important scriptures that Yeshua said. He said, you know, seek ye first the kingdom and all these things shall be added unto you. It's important that we get into a place as believers where we realize that it's about the kingdom of Yeshua. It's about doing what he's asked us to do. And these people were building a wall to a city that was going to be protected. But not only was it going to be protected, it was bringing the people together. It was unity in the spirit. And, you know, there's been many sermons that have been preached, you know, about Nehemiah. We know thousands and countless. But the truth of the matter is the spiritual truths that are found in the book of Nehemiah is so imperative for this generation today. Because unfortunately, there are so many people, just like those elders and those leaders, that are tending to their own agenda, tending to their own kingdom. And, you know, Yeshua says very clearly, he says that when we build, we need to be building on a solid foundation. And that foundation is first and foremost Messiah Yeshua and then the teachings of the apostles and the prophets. If we are teaching anything else to anybody or we are building on any other foundation, that foundation is going to fall short. So it's important that not only do we focus, like you said, and be doing the work that he's called us to do, but I think like we spoke last week, we spoke about, you know, the different things that tend to cause us to fail in doing what we have been created to do. Doubt, fear, and we spoke about that. But, you know, the other thing I think that happens often with people too is that we start the project or we start what Yahweh has called us to. And when the going gets tough, we tend to regress or we tend to feel that we are inadequate for this task that lies ahead of us. Or the wall looks like massively, the work looks so big. And we tend then to, you know, kind of say, well, I'm not equipped enough for this. And as you read on, you know, in Nehemiah and you go to the next chapter, chapter 6, and you begin to see, you know, the work that they were doing and the things that Yahweh had given Nehemiah to do, we begin to see that it's not necessarily the truth, that the work that Yahweh gives you, he, you know, there's that old saying that says, you know, he equips those that he calls. And that is really the truth. He does. But it's a matter of you saying to yourself, well, you know what? I am going to work with what I have been given. And not only that, you know, I think this evening that one of the most important things that we need to remember is that we are saved. And because you are saved, doesn't mean that now that you're saved, you can just sit, you know, down and rest and say to yourself, well, you know what, I'm saved. And I think that has been the mantra for many, many generations of those that have attended churches and that have, you know, attended, you know, religious institutions where it's been taught that, you know, you're saved. Once saved, always saved. That, you know, it's okay. Everything's all right. But that's not the truth of the word. The word of Yahweh clearly tells us, you know, that he who endures to the end will be saved. And not only that, it also tells you that those who overcome will be given crowns. Those who overcome and endure to the end will be given a part of the kingdom of Yahweh. So you choose today whom you're going to be by the things that you do. So you can choose today if you're going to stand there by the wall and just look up at it and say, well, you know what, this wall is too big for me and I don't have the tools that are going to help me to build the wall. Or you can say to yourself, well, you know what, he who started this good work in me is faithful and just to bring it to completion. So I am going to put my hand to the plow. And you know, the scriptures are so clear as well, Elia. It says very clearly that don't put your hand to the plow and turn away. Don't start something and then not finish it. And I think for many of us, we start with this fire inside of us when we saved. And as life goes on and the enemy side blinds us and kind of hammers us with all kinds of different things, not only the enemy, but our own self down, we tend then to say to ourselves, well, you know what, I don't have what it takes anymore. And we kind of step back. And tonight, I believe that Yahweh is saying to us as the body that there is a time now more than ever where we need to get busy building the walls of the kingdom. You know, Matthew chapter 24, and we said this, I think, last week. Matthew chapter 24 says very, very clearly, and those of you that are listening and you're going to listen later, I know for a fact that many of you, you keep the Torah of Yahweh, you keep the commandments of Yahweh, you have an understanding of the truth of what the gospel is. So if you have that understanding and you believe that Yahweh's commandments is vital to your survival in this generation, then why is it that so many people are not building the kingdom or proclaiming this gospel message with urgency like Nehemiah did? You know what's interesting, Elia, and I'm running away with this, but the truth of the matter is that Nehemiah took literally less than 2 months to build those walls complete. Can you imagine that? He restored the walls of Jerusalem, and he restored those walls in less than 2 months. And you know, so often we think, and I want to say this evening, we get an assignment given by Yahweh, or we get told, somebody prays over us, for example, and we get told, you know, you're going to be X, Y, and Z, or Yahweh has called you to do X, Y, and Z. And we go, and we go headlong into that thing, and we do it with haste, and then we think that once we've completed a task, that's the end of it, but it's not. Yahweh, even during the time that he was building that wall, even though Nehemiah had completed it, the task was not over. There was still more work to be done. Like you said, the work is never over until the day that Yeshua returns. So if we believe now more than ever that we are living in a time, like you said, that is both volatile, that is both disturbing, then why is it that we don't listen or take hold of the words of Yeshua that says, and this gospel of truth, this gospel of his Torah, this gospel of understanding of the covenants of Yahweh, this gospel of truth will go out as a witness to all people. And we said it just last week that not everybody on this planet has come to know the truth, but not only that, what about the fact that this truth of the gospel, the real gospel message, is going to be proclaimed? So now, more than ever, Leah, I really truly believe that we need to be building these walls with earnest. We need to be building the real walls, not the walls of you know, not the walls of a denomination, not the walls of a church institution, not the walls of some kind of religious organization. No, it is the walls of the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua, the walls of the kingdom that cannot be broken, the walls of the kingdom that says that when the enemy comes in like a flood, Yahweh will raise up a standard. He will lift those walls up so that they can withstand even the gates of hell. So it's important now more than ever that we get into a place where we realize that he has given you a task, brother. He has given you a task, sister. He has given you a calling. He has created inside of you something unique that you need to believe. And so even though the world is changing at a rapid pace, we cannot lose hope in the fact that we have been called to build and to build the kingdom of Yahweh with whatever you have been given.
You know what? It's so true what you were just saying, and I want to touch on this so quickly before we go to a song, is that everyone got involved. Mm. Like you said, the work was intense. This is a big city. This is Jerusalem. You know, there are so many roads that come in. There are so many gates, you know, the dung gate, the sheep gate, the fish gate. You know, you have all of these gates, and everybody got involved. I love verse 12 of Nehemiah 3 that says, Shalom, son of Halochesh, ruler of half a district of Jerusalem, he repaired the next section of the wall with the help of his daughters. And I love that, because we hear now that Shalom has these daughters. Actually, in my book for children, Bold Bible Girls, I mentioned Shalom's daughters, because everybody got involved. Everyone has a place. Everyone has a calling. Everyone has gifts. Everyone has, you know, an interest. And that was a big thing, Yosef. We should have an interest in building these walls. Mm-hmm. Though they had an interest in building these walls. And you know what? It wasn't just for protection. The walls weren't just there for protection. If you looked at the gates through which, you know, people came in and out, those gates were really, really big. And they had sections on the gates where there would be people that were soldiers that would stand in the gates guarding the city. The gates were also where the judges would sit. So when we build these walls, mm-hmm. we are building what? military protection, protection for the city, of course, from our enemies. We are restoring the places where the judges will sit and give us the holy words of Torah.
Justice.
Not only Amen. That, Amen. But also trade and commerce, markets, would come in and out. So now we're restoring the economy of the city where we are. We are now doing manifold things. And also, I think the big thing would be for me was to look at these walls and to say that I'm leaving this behind for the next generation. My parents, this is what would have happened in those times. My parents and my grandparents, they were in Babylon. They were taken away. Yes, obviously Persia conquered Babylon and then the Jewish people went to Persia. But, it was that whole time period. So, you're looking back and you're looking at your family who have probably passed away, who went before you, and you're saying they couldn't see what I'm seeing today. They wished and longed to be here in the city, and yet they never got to that. They passed away in Babylon or Persia, and I'm here today. So I'm going to leave behind something that is greater and something that is profound for those who will come after me. Mm-hmm. And Nehemiah's wall stood. It was upon those walls which the city just got stronger and stronger, and the walls got more fortified, and it just was. But Nehemiah's walls and these people that built, that was the foundation. That was the first layer that was laid for those who came after, that they would lay their bricks on top of that. And how beautiful is that to consider? And it's not just for our physical children. It's for our generation of believers who will come after us, who will build upon what we do today, what we do for the kingdom, and how we use our gifts. The work is intense,
Amen.
But it is possible. So let's go to our first song, only our first song of the evening, Yosef. We are going to play a really nice one by Paul Wilbur. I was listening to the song today, and I love this song called Oshat for Joy. Enjoy and see you when we get back.
Of my people, Israel, they shall build the broken walls and cities and live in them. I, oh, la 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 la, I will call my people from the nations. I'll plant them in their land. They shall grow and flourish like a vineyard. Not be moved again. Alle, alleluia. Oh, shout for joy when the fallen tent of David has been restored. Oh, la 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 la. I will reap a harvest from the nations. I'll bring them by the hand. Jew and Gentile worshiping together as one new man. Strike the harp and play upon the timbrel. Oh, children, dance and sing. Shout for joy. Worship him forever, Messiah King, oh, Messiah King. Alle, alleluia, oh, shout for joy, when the fallen tent of David has been restored. Shout for joy when the fallen tent of David
That's such a great song. And this evening you joined us for the Restoration Hour, and we're talking about Nehemiah, and we're talking about the importance of building those walls. But you know, Leah, like we said before the break, you know, I really honestly believe that it's so important, because right now we are living in a time, and like you said, where I honestly believe that time is ticking away, and that if we are not going to be building these walls, and we're not going to be building the kingdom of Yeshua, then how then is the world that we are living in and the people of this world going to know this Messiah that we talk about? And so often we tend to start something really well. We tend to get saved. We tend to enter into the kingdom of Yahweh. And then when the going gets tough and things are required of us, we tend to kind of step backwards. Mm-hmm. And it's important for us to understand that as the people of Yahweh that have been saved, you have now been saved from this realm of this curse of sin and death, so that you can be a witness of that life that now resides in you. So it is important, and that's why, you know, throughout the book of Acts, when we read that they received boldness through the power of the Spirit, when we read that and we see the words that are used, the boldness that is actually spoken about is that they were a witness, and the word witness there is actually called martyr. They were a witness of this gospel unto death. And how many of us can honestly say that in these days that we are alive, that we are willing to go so far, that we are willing to stand there, despite the fact that there was enemies in the time of Nehemiah coming against them while they were building? They would build with swords upon their belts because of the enemy. But once they had united, once they had come together and those walls had been built, it caused a chain reaction. Not only did it cause that, the fact that, you know, the walls were now built and everyone was coming together and you know, trade and things could resume, but it also caused fear to reside in the enemy, because the enemy began to see that this remnant, these people, this few that were left, were now actually beginning to establish what was once known, what was once known throughout the world as Israel, the people of Yahweh. So what we need to understand, that is now in this generation that we're living in, the truth of Yahweh's word is minimalistic, if I have to use that word. It is kind of something that people don't want to talk about. Yes, there is a revival. Yes, there is people returning to the truth. But if the people that are returning to the truth don't take hold of their calling, don't take hold of who they are in Messiah Yeshua, how will the next generation know? So it's one thing to return to your heritage and understanding of the truth of Yahweh's word, but that word that he has given you and understanding of the covenants of Yahweh, his commandments, and all that goodness of living a righteous life should cause us to be a representation of the body of Messiah Yeshua in a dying world. That's what it's about. So they became the representation of the whole house of Israel. It was a remnant of people that had returned with a fire inside of them and a calling that Yahweh had given and placed in Nehemiah's heart. So like Aaliyah said when we started this evening, so often we want to look to, you know, we want to look to that person's ministry, or we want to look to that pastor or that religious leader for an understanding. But yet Yahweh has given it to you. Yahweh has placed upon you the understanding, or he has placed upon you the calling to do the job. It's one thing to look for counsel and help, but it is another thing to turn away from the calling that Yahweh has given you because of your own fears, or because of doubts, or because you are not so 100% sure. So let us understand this evening that to each one of us, Rav Shul says this, Paul says, to each one of us a gift has been given according to the measure of our faith. That gift could be anything. It could be speaking words of encouragement. It could be any kind of tool that Yahweh has given you to be able to rebuild this kingdom of Yahweh in this generation. It's now more than ever. And you know, Leah, I want to just go back to that thing that I said before. You know, these people never relied on their own power. And we know that for a fact, because there's, you know, in the book I'm trying to think of the book, Zechariah, I think, where it says, not by might nor by power, but by the Spirit of Yahweh, to Zerubbabel, you know, where it speaks these words, and it's spoken because it's exactly the truth. If we are going to rebuild the kingdom, if we're going to rebuild the truth of Yahweh's word so that the scriptures can come to fulfillment, that says that Yahweh, through his manifest wisdom and power, is going to reveal his power through the body, through his own body, so that the world comes to know him. That's what it tells us. It says that through his body, the manifest power and knowledge and wisdom of Yahweh is going to be revealed. It was exactly the same as what was happening here as they built these walls. So it's important for us to firstly remember something. When we get busy doing the work of Yahweh, there are going to be distractions. There are going to be things in your life that's going to try and derail you, whether it be your own family, whether it be friends, whether it be your job, whether it be the enemy himself trying to derail you. And it's important to remember that we cannot be derailed by distractions or by people or by things. We have to stay focused to what Yahweh has called us to do. And so often, I think people, believers in general, we tend to want to do things, but yet that is not what Yahweh has created you for. To each one of us, a gift has been given. To each one of us, a calling has been assigned. There is things that Yahweh has designed you for. So for you, it might be maybe playing music for Yahweh, or for someone else, it might be writing something for Yahweh. Don't scorn or don't despise the thing that Yahweh has given you. Yahweh has given to each one of us a gift, and it's our duty to cultivate what Yahweh has given us so that we can be part of that body united, so that the walls can stand. Every one of those people that we're building, like you said, whether it was the priest, whether it was the baker, whether it was, you know, the person that was selling perfumes, they all had a duty, and not one person's job description was better than anyone else's. We were all building, they were all building one wall. Despite the fact that they had different titles, they were all doing the same job. And that's what Paul says. He says, you know, to one, a gift has been given to speak in tongues, to another, the gift of prophecy. But it is all through one spirit that brings us together in the spirit of unity so that the kingdom of Yahweh can be restored so that people can see. So it is our duty, Aaliyah, to not allow distractions to come against us. And also that when they relied upon the power of the Ruach, there were two results. One, the enemy was fearful. The enemy became fearful because of the power of these people and the speed at which they were working. But not only that, the work was completed. And the work was completed because there was unity of spirit and there was one foundation. They built one wall. They weren't building 10,000 different little walls and then saying to each other, well, you know what, we'll just join them a little bit later. They built one wall and every person was building according to the plan that was given, and they were building one wall. And I think, you know, that's a lesson for us today. So often we want to build our own kingdoms. We want to go off on our own and do our own things. And we want to be an offshoot. And if Yahweh hasn't told us, if Yeshua hasn't clearly said to you that it's time for you to do such a matter, then we are actually building our own wall. Mm. And in the end, those walls are going to stand on their own and they're going to have no purpose. It's important that we stand together in the power of Yahweh's Spirit and do what He has called us to do, building one kingdom through one Spirit.
Mm. I love this scripture that was just posted here, and by Solomon, Psalm 51, and it's such a powerful, powerful scripture. And again, I was just thinking, Yosef, about this reality of just building this one wall and how different people, you know, it is beautiful that different people in the body of Messiah have different heartbeats for different things. And sometimes, you know what, people go, oh, well, you know, those people, oh, they just say, for example, they have this ministry to the homeless. What, you know, that's just unimportant, because I feel like we need to be helping, you know, people develop economically because people are struggling with unemployment, and that's what we should be doing. But you know what, the truth of the matter is that we all have different heartbeats for different things, and it is so beautiful when we recognize that it's not either or, but it's all of it together. So say you have the calling and the heartbeat, you know, to build people up economically, help them financially, whatever it may be, then that is a beautiful gift and a calling. Please use that in the body. If this person has, you know, a calling to see, you know, Jewish people saved, as I know people do, then that is a beautiful calling, whatever it may be. We are, as long as it's what Yahweh has called us to do, we are building the kingdom. And, you know, it can seem sometimes, I also want to say that, you know, Yahweh has His way of working. He has His way of doing things. And it was so interesting for me many, many years ago. I struggled because I felt, you know, super called to ministry to do this. But then on the other hand, I also felt called to, you know, advocate for certain things that I didn't consider at that point very spiritual. So, for example, speak about, you know, go and work in the area of history and join the History Foundation and do a TED talk on history and, you know, rally around this whole thing. And I'm thinking, this is my heartbeat. This is what I want. And I love the, you know, I'm called to ministry and I'm called to do this. How? And for a long time, I struggled because I thought, well, the ministry work is sacred, but this heart that I have for these other things, that is not, you know, that is strange. It doesn't have a place. And it's simply because we are taught theologically from pulpits, from teachers, from whatever, that, you know what, this pulpit ministry, and that is holy. You know, it's like any form of like full-time ministry where you're teaching the Bible, you're preaching the word or whatever, this is God's work and other things are just other things. Not so. You know what I mean? Any work that we are called to do, that Yeshua calls us to do, is sacred work. It's all pulpit ministry. I don't care what it is. You know, if it's helping the homeless, if it's advocating, you know, for better history in schools, if it's, like I said, helping people financially, you know, so that they don't end up on the street when they're older because they know what to do for their retirement, that is sacred work. And any work that we're called to do, whether it's editing books or you know, creating music, doesn't matter. If Yahweh has called us to it, and I want to say that this evening, it's not either or. It's not you are good because you teach the Bible and then someone else's work is lesser. No ways. Whatever it may be, it's building what Yahweh wants us to do. And even in the week, you know, I had someone that was sharing with me and saying, you know, it was kind of like we were having a talk about missions, and they were saying, they were kind of started defending themselves and saying, well, I work in this place and it's not really missions, but I kind of do reveal Yeshua. And they got into like almost a tailspin, and I actually hadn't even spoken to them. I was just a sounding board, and I stopped them and I said, you realize that you're defending yourself, but no one's accusing you of anything. And they kind of stopped and they were like, yeah, I'm just so used to being around believers who say that I'm not doing anything for Yeshua because I just work in a factory. And I just stopped them and I said, you never have to defend yourself because you know what Yeshua has called you to. So what? You know what I mean? Just because you're not going with the Bible under your arm over into China doesn't make your work any less. It's not true that. You know what I mean? We have to see our work all as sacred and holy. You know, these guys, like you said, Yosef, there was perfume makers and bakers, and there were, you know, rulers of districts, and then there were priests, and everybody was doing the same work and it had the same impact and it was for the same purpose. So let's just get behind what we got to do and just do it full out.
Amen. You know, Leah, I think this evening as well that I really believe that the Father wants us to, as the people of Yeshua, that we come to understand that to each one of us, like I said, a gift has been given. You are unique in the body of Messiah Yeshua. Mm-hmm. To you, Yahweh has given you a unique design and a unique calling, as well as a unique purpose in His kingdom. But in the end, we all work together for one goal. Like it says, one person will be the hand, the other person will be the feet, but we are all part of one body and one kingdom. So it's important. That's why over and over in the scriptures, it tells us, you know, Yeshua says that I will not share my glory with anyone else. Yahweh clearly states that. So it's important that when we begin to work for the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua, that we get to a point and we ask ourselves, am I truly committed to His kingdom, or am I building my own kingdom? Because it is so easy that you sidestep because of the appraisal of man, or because of, you know, and we see this often. I see it often in places where, you know, where I'm just going to say it, in churches, for example, where somebody has a powerful gift. Maybe they have a powerful gift to play an instrument, or they have a powerful gift as an evangelist, for example. And what we do as leaders is we see these gifts in people, and instead of taking them aside and helping them and cultivating what has been given to them, we tend to, and I say we because I myself am in a place where we have people. It is our duty as people who have been assigned to help others to help them cultivate their gifts and not abuse their gifts. So many times people have been given gifts in the body, and instead of cultivating it and going through, you know, the right way that Yahweh wants them to use it, we abuse it because it benefits the congregation, or it benefits the leadership to use this person. So we abuse them. So somebody might have a powerful gift and anointing to sing and sing in the spirit of Yahweh. So what we do is we abuse them, and then what we see, kind of wounded people in the body, and it tends to be that people then get so demotivated because it wasn't in the right way that Yahweh wanted. As a leader in Yahweh's kingdom, we need to identify the people that have been placed in our care and have giftings, but not abuse it. We have to not abuse what people have been given, because that will cause people to run away from the truth of who they are.
How many times have we witnessed this? How many times have we witnessed this? You know, people, churches do that. I know that that's what you're talking about. You don't want to say it this evening, but this is what we've witnessed in the church. And then we meet people who come into Torah, and then you just see, we've met so many people that don't want to use their giftings. That's, you know, they refuse to use their giftings. Like, you know, I was in a church and I had a gift to sing, and I was put in the front, and I was so burnt out that I began to, you know, just perform. I began to just follow a formula, you know, to get into God's presence, in inverted commas. And I followed this formula, and now I realized that I, you know, was actually just following a formula. It wasn't by the Spirit. Now I never want to sing again. And in actual fact, that is places where we also need healing when we talk about our giftings and our callings. And I think we should go to our final song for the evening. Before we do that, I want to proclaim a scripture over everyone that's listening today. And it's found in Ephesians 2 verse 10. I'm reading out of a very specific translation, but it says the following: we have become his poema, which means his poetry, a recreated people that will fulfill the destiny he has given each one of us. For we are joined to Messiah Yeshua, the Anointed One. Even before we were born, God planned in advance our destiny, as well as the good works we would do to fulfill it. And you know what? I want to just say that this is a proclamation I want to make today, that we will fulfill the destiny that he has for us, that we are a beautiful, beautiful masterpiece that was created by the master craftsman. And he created us, each and every single one of us, with a calling, with a destiny. And so today we want to go to our final song, and we want to say that if you have a prayer request, please put it down. We'd love to pray for you. And we just really pray that, you know, you would really reach the destiny and calling Abba Father has for you. That is our biggest prayer today. So enjoy the song. It's called Be My Shalom. And we're going to pray together when we get back.
Be my shalom, the calm inside the chaos that surrounds me, the peace that goes beyond my understanding. Be my shalom, you call my name when my heart starts to wander, and you shepherd me and lead me to still waters. Let your spirit fall, be my comfort. Let your spirit fall, be my healing. Let your spirit fall. I just want more, I just want more. Jesus, be my shalom, the ebb and flow of mercy brings us closer, as the kindness of your heart, God, wins me over. Oh, let your spirit fall, be my comfort. Let your spirit fall, be my healing. Let your spirit fall. I just want more, I just want more, Jesus. I'm made whole. Your love, Jesus,
Spirit, fall. Be my comfort, let your Spirit fall. Be my healing, let your Spirit fall. I just want more, I just want more. Jesus, be my shalom.
Amen. Father, this evening I really want to pray that song and pray, Father, that you will be our shalom. Father, I want to thank you so much this evening that we could come together and, Father, that we can discuss the importance of building the walls, building your kingdom now more than ever. Father, as the kingdom of darkness is being built continually, Father, day in and day out, Father, I really pray that we will come to understand the importance of building the kingdom of light, that it is so important, Father, that we walk in holiness, righteousness, and truth so that we can be a light in a very dark generation. I pray, Father, that we will not stand back, Father, and say, well, I don't have what it takes, but instead, Father, that we will realize that we have been called out of darkness into this marvelous light, that we have been blessed as the people of Yahweh to understand the truth of your kingdom, the truth of our heritage, the truth of your Torah, the truth of who we really are, so that we can be like those of Nehemiah's day, the remnant of our generation, Father, preparing the way for the coming King and preparing, Father, what is desired by your Spirit for this generation. It is so important, Father, that we realize that. And if that is truth, and I believe it is, Father, then you will equip us. You will empower us by the power of your Spirit as we walk in an intimate relationship with you. I believe, Father, that you will show us the way, that you will give us, as we always say, Father, over and over, that you will give us the eyes to see and ears to hear, and that we will understand, and that we will move with you, and that we will be the people, Father, that you want us to be. I pray, Father, in this generation, that there will be such a powerful group of people, Father, raised up in this generation, that will be using their giftings, that will not be afraid to speak. They will not be afraid, Father, to advance the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua. And Father, that they will be a light to the nations, a kingdom of priests set apart for you, delivering, Father, the truth of this hour and the message of this hour to countless people across this globe. And we thank you for that. Father, this evening we want to thank you so much, Father, for each and every person that has been here. And Father, I want to pray for Solomon's wife. Father, I want to pray in the name of Yeshua, Father, for healing, for a skin rash expanding in her body, and myself, as he says, Father, for knee problems. Father, I want to pray this evening, Father, in the name of Yeshua. I thank you, Yahweh, that you are our healer, that you are our great physician, that you're the one, Father, that wants to heal us. As we come to you, Father, your word says clearly, make your requests known unto me. Father, when we ask, Father, for a piece of bread, you are faithful, Father, not to give us a stone. So this evening, Father, as my brother has come forward, Father, for his wife as well as for himself, I pray, Abba, Father, that you will see that, and Father, that you will act upon it, act upon his faith, Father, act upon their faith. And I pray, Father, that there will be a healing, Father, that there will be a testimony of that healing over her as well as for him. I pray, Father, that our brother's knee will no longer have pain or problems, but Father, that through the power of your Spirit, that there will be a miracle taking place, that there will be complete healing and restoration in his mortal body in the name of Yeshua. We thank you for their lives. We thank you for who they are. We pray, Father, that you will continue to bind them with a cord of love that cannot be broken. And Father, that you will unite them in the spiritual realm to be a powerful force in this generation, Father, as husband and wife. And we thank you for them. Father, we thank you this evening, as I have said, for every single person that joins us, those that will join us and listen to the playback. We pray for them too, Father, that every need will be met according to the glorious riches of Messiah Yeshua, that there will be no fear in their hearts, that there will be no confusion in their lives, but instead, Father, that they will be people who commit to the cause of the kingdom of Messiah Yeshua, that we will be soldiers, Father, in this kingdom and not turn away. As Paul says to Timothy, every soldier does not get involved in civilian matters. May we be people, Father, that stay in the light and not put one foot in the darkness. May we be people, Father, that commit to what you have called us to, because we know that, Father, that is the way, the truth, and the life. That is the way that you want us to live, and it will bring satisfaction not only to our hearts and our lives, but it will also bring deliverance to other people as we act upon who we are. We thank you for this, Father, and we bless you. In Messiah Yeshua's name we pray. Amen.
Amen. Thank you so much for joining us. It's been so great to be with you. We hope that you have a Shavua Tov. And you know what? It's just one more week. And then Yom Teruah is just on our doorstep. And so may we make this week count. You know what? It's so, so beautiful to consider that it says in the book of Nehemiah that the walls were completed on the 25th day of the Hebrew month of Elul, which is the month that we are in now. And the 25th day actually is round about next, well, this coming Friday, round about Shabbat. So meditate on that and may you be blessed. Shavua Tov, and we'll see you next week.
Shalom, everybody.
Days may be darkest, but your light is great.